everybody, and welcome to That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. I'm your host, Bill Yankovy, and, well, I'm going to be honest with you guys, this week is probably going to be a short show, but this week I'm going to preview NXT TakeOver In Your House, which is this Sunday night, plus I'm going to get into wrestling news, and I'm going to talk about something that has kind of bothered me as of late in the world of professional wrestling, and I'm going to be honest, it's something that I've done as well. What is it? Well, you'll just have to tune in and hear what it is. But before I get really deep into the show, get into the news and stuff, I want to talk about the last couple of days in the world of wrestling. It seems as if, well, there's just been bad endings to shows on television or wherever you watch it. In particular, there are two shows, one that definitely had a bad ending, and the other, that's a questionable ending. But is either one worse than the other? Well, let me explain. So this past Sunday night, the NWA had an iPay-per-view, and the main event of that show was Trevor Murdoch versus Nick Aldis for the NWA World Heavyweight title. The match, for the most part, was pretty good, and then you get to the end. The ending of the match, Tom Latimer comes out, distracts the referee. Nick Aldis grabs a steel chair, gets in the ring, hits the referee, knocks the referee out. So then Trevor Murdoch makes a comeback. He hits Aldis with a chair, puts on the Texas Cloverleaf. Well, the referee manages to get himself back together. He gets in the ring. He sees there's a chair in the ring, and he's looking at Murdoch, and the ref thinks that Murdoch hit him with the steel chair, calls for the bell. Nick Aldis wins by disqualification, retains the NWA World Heavyweight title. Now let's go to Raw from Monday night. Alexa's Playhouse is the final segment. Shayna Baszler comes on, beats up Alexa's doll, Lily. And then Pyro goes off, and Shayna starts to go hide, and then hears Lily, the doll, and Shayna kicks the mirror, and then it goes to black, and that's how it ends. Okay. So, which of the two is the better or the worst ending? Honestly, I think it's too soon to tell. Now, on paper, or the way I described it, I'm sure some of you are probably saying, oh, Raw had the worst ending of the two, or the NWA had the worst ending of the two. Now, when I watched the NWA one, there was a feeling of I was upset with this ending. But as people were saying, and Josiah, who I, you know, he's been on Eliminated before and wrestling with COVID on many occasions, he wrote something very good and very true in his review of this show, which was, let's wait and see what happens. Let's wait and see what happens, what develops over the next several weeks. Yes, it looked bad, but it might end up being something good. And it's kind of the same way with the Shayna Baszler ending to Raw Monday night, but I have more faith in a way that the NWA could turn this negative into a positive somehow, but Let's wait and see. Honestly, let's wait and see what happens. So, and speaking of the NWA, they made a big announcement, two big announcements on NWA Power this week. One is they will have in August, on August the 28th, an all women's NWA pay-per-view. And Mickey James is going to produce the pay-per-view, which is pretty, you know, it's pretty cool. And they just had a title change. Camille won the NWA World Women's title, so it'll be interesting to see how they go with that show and that main event. And then the following day, August the 29th, they're going to have their anniversary show. NWA 73 is the name of it. It will be held in St. Louis, Missouri at the Chase Hotel. And this is kind of a big deal, and I'm going to explain why this is a big deal, especially to the younger listeners and the younger fans. About 60-plus years ago, there used to be a wrestling show called Wrestling at the Chase, and it was held at the Chase Hotel in downtown St. Louis, Missouri. And it, you know, it was in a ballroom, and you know, every big name at that time from the late 50s into the 60s wrestled on this show. Now, the footage of this, unfortunately, for the most part, has been lost to time. There's like maybe one or two clips of Wrestling at the Chase from the actual hotel that exists. So the fact that they were able to find a way to get a wrestling show back in the Chase Hotel is pretty amazing, I think. And that in itself has kind of drawn me into wanting to see this pay-per-view on August the 29th. So we'll see what happens in, well, it's 2.5 months away, so, you know, 2.5 months will come just like that, so. But it's pretty cool to hear. NWA is going to do two pay-per-views at the end of August. They're going to do an all-women's pay-per-view August 28th, and then they're going to do their anniversary show August 29th at the Chase Hotel in downtown St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, into some other news, and this is big news, especially if you live in Southern California. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla announced Thursday night that it will have its first show in over a year and a half. It will be on Sunday, August the 1st. Now, the last time they had a show was back in December of 2019, the makings of a varsity athlete. They were originally supposed to have done a show March of last year, which was called Kobe. It was going to be dedicated to Kobe Bryant. However, that show was postponed because of the pandemic. So, this is what we have. And this is maybe kind of remind everyone. Bandido is the PWG World Champion. So more than likely, he will be able to wrestle on that show. The tag champions at the time were the Rascals, Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz. Well, that's a bit of a problem because they're both in NXT. They're the NXT Tag Team Champions. So more than likely, those belts are going to be vacant and they're going to do something to fill the vacancy of those titles. So, but it's good news that Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, which has been for quite some time one of the premier independent promotions in the United States, is coming back and rolling, I guess we could say, with the times on August the 1st. Month of July is Slammiversary for Impact Wrestling. Excuse me. And they had announced on Impact last night that Sami Callihan will be the next person to challenge whoever is the Impact World Champion. Now, tomorrow, Saturday, Impact has one of their pay-per-views Against All Odds. And that's going to feature Kenny Omega against Moose. So whoever wins that match will be defending the title against Sami Callihan in Nashville on July the 17th at Slammiversary. So either way, you got a pretty good main event right there. Braun Strowman is in the news because, well, if you want him for your independent show, you're going to have to pay a lot of pretty pennies. Because if you want Braun Strowman on your independent show, you will have to pay $20,000 to book him. This is definitely Ryback territory. I like Braun. I really do, but yeah, I don't see $20,000. I don't see anybody paying $20,000 to book Braun Strowman for a pay-per-view or for, you know, an independent show. I really don't see it happening, but hey, it was worth a try. So last Saturday, it was announced, and I pretty much called it here, SummerSlam will be held in Las Vegas, Nevada at Allegiant Stadium. August the 21st is the date. The show is going to have an 8 p.m. bell time Eastern, so it's going to be 7 Central, so probably about 5 Pacific is when SummerSlam will be. Tickets are going to sell, or are going to start selling at $25. So one of the fun things about professional wrestling, and especially for someone like myself who has been a fan and, you know, likes to study the history, is we get these weird news stories that is kind of fun in a weird way. And this is my favorite story of the week in the world of professional wrestling. And it involves Brody Lee Jr., a.k.a. Negative One. So, over the last several weeks, Brody Lee Jr. has not been on television. So, you know, my initial thought was, oh, you know, he might be busy doing school stuff, because, you know, he's a kid. Well, I'm half right and half wrong. Amanda Huber, Brody Lee Jr.'s mother, took to Instagram and uploaded a video of her two sons. A fan joked that Minus One has been absent for so long due to falling grades, and it seems that is exactly what happened. Amanda Huber saw the fan's comment and decided to reply to it, stating that she didn't allow Brody Jr. to go to AEW shows because he stopped doing his schoolwork. Here's the full statement. 100%. He stopped doing his work, so he lost privileges. I don't make money off any appearances he does at AEW. It's purely for fun. It's his favorite place in the world and a reward for hard work. He managed to finish the school year with all A's and B's despite slipping up a bit. I'm very proud of him. Well, it's school. You need to get an education, everybody. Because if you don't have an education, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? All right. So, I wanted to talk about something that's kind of been bugging me. And, like I said, I'm a little bit guilty of this as well. So, in a way, I'm kind of mad at myself. Well, not mad at myself. I'm a little annoyed with myself, along with being annoyed at wrestling fans in general. So what is it that I'm annoyed about? Well, it's how we as wrestling fans basically nowadays have decided everybody is a legend in professional wrestling. I mean, it's just getting kind of ridiculous. And where I'm getting with this is how you have all these people who've been around wrestle for so many years. And, excuse me. And it's like, oh, this person's a legend. They did, you know, legend. We gotta stop that. I think we gotta, at some point, put a stop to the whole idea of everybody is a freaking legend. It's getting ridiculous. I mean, there should be, like, you know, like how you have, you see it with sports, like, oh, this is tier one, this is tier two, this is tier three. That's what we should do with legends, like legendary statuses. Like, the top for me would be like Flair, Hogan, Fez, Austin, and that's probably it. And then you'd go to a tier two, then you'd go to a tier three. But it's like, if somebody did something legendary, okay, that's one thing. But you don't become a legend because you do one legendary thing. You got to do a lot of different things to become a legend. And I think people are losing the idea and the mindset of what a legend is, especially in this society in general. Like, I'm sure someone is sitting right now listening to this saying, oh, the guy that's talking is a legend. No, that's not how it works. People have to do things to become legends. And I just don't like the idea or the thought that we're kind of, in a way, saying every single person is a legend. Or that's how it feels to me, is every single person is a legend in professional wrestling. And I think it's getting kind of out of hand. And maybe we need to tone it down a little bit to a point where it's like, okay, this is what the criteria has to be to be considered a legend. But it's just something that kind of irks me. It kind of annoys me in a way. And I wish people would get over the idea or the thought of, hey, this guy's a legend, 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 legend. Not everybody's a legend. Not everybody is a legend in professional wrestling. Let's get over it. Please. Let's get over it. All right, now that I've gotten that rant out of my system, this Sunday is the next installment of TakeOver, and it is NXT TakeOver In Your House 2021. There are 5 matches on the card. A lot of the titles are on the line. Not all the titles, but a lot of the titles are on the line. So, gonna go through each match, going to give a prediction as to who will win the matches. And let's begin with Mercedes Martinez against Xia Li. This should be an interesting match. Mercedes Martinez making the smartest decision of her career by not sticking with Retribution. Should be a really interesting match. Obviously, Mercedes has the experience, 20-plus years in the business, or close to 20 years in the business. But Xia Li, they've been giving her a lot of airtime as of late on TV. I think Xia Li is going to win this match. I think Xia Li will defeat Mercedes Martinez. Next match. This is going to be an interesting match. Cameron Grimes against LA Knight in a ladder match for the $1 million belt. So the $1 million title, this has been quite an interesting story with Cameron Grimes and Ted DiBiase, and now LA Knight has been brought into the mix, and it's an interesting situation, and now the $1 million belt is going to be hung above the middle of the ring for someone to take. I would really be happy if Cameron Grimes got it, because this Cameron Grimes character is actually becoming one of my favorite characters right now. But I see LA Knight winning this one. I just have this feeling that LA Knight is going to win and is going to win the $1 million belt. Just have that feeling. Next match is a winner-take-all six-man tag team match. The NXT North America champion, Bronson Reed, teams up with the NXT tag team champions, MSK, to face all three members of Legado del Fantasma. Pretty simple. Whoever wins wins the title. So basically, if Santos Escobar gets the fall, he would be the North American champion, and Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde would be the tag team champions. This could be an interesting match. It could be an interesting match here. I'm going to say Bronson Reed and MSK retain the tag or retain all three titles. I mean, Bronson Reed just won the North American title, and MSK, they've only had the belts for 2 months. I think they're going to keep the titles. I think all three of them will retain. NXT Women's title will be defended. Raquel Gonzalez defends against Ember Moon. Should be a good match here, but this is Raquel's first big title defense since winning the NXT Women's title. I see Raquel Gonzalez retaining the NXT Women's Championship. And the main event of NXT TakeOver In Your House is a fatal five-way for the NXT Championship. Karrion Kross to defend against Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, and Pete Dunne. I'm really hoping that this is a very good match. I really do hope this is going to be a very good match. Because you got some very good talent here. I mean, Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly, Gargano, Cole, and Kross, at times when he has the ability to have a really good match, he can. So with that said, again, you know, Kross just got the title 2 months ago. I'm going to say Karrion Kross retains the NXT title. I just don't see him losing the title so soon. But we'll see what happens come Sunday. All right. Well, on that note, that is going to wrap it up for this week. But before I end it, let's get into the plugs. If you guys have any questions or comments, send an email. WrestlingMan@thatWrestlingShow.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter, WrestlingShow11. Follow the show on Instagram, ThatWrestlingShow. Join the Facebook group. It is That Wrestling Show Fan Group. and you just type that in the search bar and you're right there. If you can't find it, it's okay. I put the link in the description of each and every episode. And we actually have a couple of new members. I want to give them a quick shout out. Hello to Robert C. Thomas and Tony Pappas for joining our group. Welcome aboard. I think you guys are going to really, really like the group. And if you like what you heard here and you want more content, check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/thatwrestlingshow. Highest tier is $3. You heard that right. $3 is our highest tier, and you get pay-per-view reviews within 24 hours after the pay-per-view has ended. Plus, you get our special show that we do, That Wrestling Show After Dark with myself and Fro, and so much more. patreon.com/thatwrestlingshow. Now to check out or plug some friends and check out podcasts that you guys should listen to. Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast with Joe Morata and Michael Quinn. This week, they discuss, could Dusty Rhodes have fit in the Hulk Hogan spot? They're going to try to change your mind. Plus, week 3 of the Royal Flush of the worst world title changes, and a review of Atlantic Grand Prix Wrestling from June 1987. That is this week on our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Can't plug Greetings from Allentown because Petey hasn't put up a show. Well, I mean the regular show, so but check him out anyway. Also, check out Juice Pro Wrestling, where this week they interview author Kenny Casanova, who has worked on so many books, including Sabu, Kamala, Brutus Beefcake, Vader, Danny Davis, Tito Santana, and some future projects along the way with Mick Foley and the Good Brothers. Check that interview out. That is this week on Juice Pro Wrestling. There's one more. The 24-inch podcast, where it is a tribute to the one and only Hulk Hogan, Steve Bennett and Dave Rollins. They look at the career of Hulk Hogan, and their brand new episode, they review the main event of the first Survivor Series, November of 1987, Hulk Hogan's team, which consisted of him, Bam Bam Bigelow, Ken Patera, Don Morocco, and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, facing Andre the Giant's team of Andre the Giant, King Kong Bundy, Ravishing Rick Rude, The Natural Butch Reed, and the One Man Gang. Check that out, the 24-inch podcast. You can find that on the Sportscasters feed. If you're looking for non-wrestling-related podcasts, check out Last Stop Penn Station with Kerry Silken and Ian Riccaboni as they go into the life of Kerry Silken. This week, they discuss Kerry Silken going to have a root canal, plus touches on Ring of Honor, and much more. That is this week on Last Stop Penn Station. Also, check out The Castle Vault, which is a chronological deep dive of Disney animated films powered by Disney+. This week, they discuss Toy Story 4. Yes, Toy Story 4. It's a movie. Toy Story 4. No, it's actually a good movie. It may be the weakest of the four, but it's still a good movie. So check it out, The Castle Vault. Also, Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch Weird Al podcast. This week, they sit down and interview conductor, composer, and arranger Sean O'Loughlin, who orchestrated the Hollywood Bowl concerts for Weird Al and the Strings Attached tour. That is this week on Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch Weird Al podcast. Also, check out Bill Learns Kingdom Hearts. It's the podcast with myself and Jim Boy Star, where I watch 30 minutes of Kingdom Hearts on YouTube and talk about everything that happens in the 30 minutes. This week, I'm taking a test. That's right. Gonna go back and you'll get to hear me take this test, and you guys can do it as well. See if I do really good on this test. It is a true test this week on Bill Learns Kingdom Hearts. And finally, Sharks Pond, a South Park podcast where I watch and review each and every South Park episode. This week, I review the Season 12 episode, Eek a Penis. That is this week on Shark's Pond, a South Park podcast. Okay, next week on the show, going to review NXT TakeOver In Your House, preview the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, and hopefully there'll be some more freaking news to talk about. I know this isn't a long show. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Who knows? Everybody have a good, safe weekend, no matter where you are, and come back next week for another episode of That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. And as always, wrestle on.